get into the investor loan programs, right? So COVID-19 came, a lot of things changed with the underwriting guidelines, but I'm here to tell you guys, a lot of programs are opening back up. So we're gonna talk about tonight, conventional financing using traditional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, income-based financing to buy your first property or your 10th property. Hard money loans, we're gonna talk about that. There's been a lot of changes, but a lot of hard money private lenders are opening back up again. I had conversations with several of them over the past week. Programs are coming back, flexibility is coming back. So we're gonna go through, you know, what I found. And asset-based lending, my favorite, right? Income-based loans, your exit strategy to get out of a hard money loan if you're doing a buy, fix, and then you wanna hold it long term. So that's the great thing that I wanna report to you guys, that asset-based loans are really coming back to full swing. So I'm gonna break these programs down for you. So conventional financing, minimum 680 credit score. So I'm just gonna give you guys kind of like the ABCs, what you need to qualify for, and then we go through Q&A. I'm pretty sure you guys are gonna have a lot of questions about this stuff. So minimum 680 credit score, it's a full documentation loan, meaning it's income-based, right? W-2s, tax returns, pay stub, just like you're gonna buy your primary residence, right? Your minimum down payment, it's 15 to 25% of the purchase price. Now, a single family or a condo investment property, you can put down as little as 15%. Multifamilies, duplex, triplex, quads, 25% down payment, no ifs, ands, buts about it. Maximum seller's concession is 3%. A seller's concession, guys, is when a seller agrees to pay a portion of your closing costs. So $100,000 sales price, a 3% concession, $3,000 that the seller is going to pay. 1 to 4 family properties, like I said, Fannie Mae approved condos. The max loan amount is based off the Fannie Mae loan limits. Single families are $510,000. If you live in high cost areas like New York, Cali, areas like that, single family goes up to $765,000, and you can go up to $1.4 million with a 4-family property. All right. Rehab money is available for conventional investment properties. Only one family properties are allowed currently under the Fannie Mae Homestyle program. That program right now, you need about a 660 credit score to start off with that. 6 to 12 months of reserves are required for each property owned. Now, this is one of the big things with conventional loans, the reserve requirement. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will allow you to have up to 10 finance properties, but for each finance property, you need to have 6 to 12 months of reserves for each property. It could be in a retirement plan, liquid, but you have to document it, right? And this is where conventional financing gets a little bit tricky, because some investors are just, they just don't have that type of reserves handy. But one of the main reasons why you guys will want to go with conventional financing is because of the interest rates. The interest rates are going to be really cheap. I mean, right now we're locking in people in the low 4% range on 30-year fixed mortgages. Even had a couple coming in the high threes for investment properties, multifamilies, refinances, and purchases. So that's one of the main reasons why you would go with a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac conventional financing, because you really want to take that cheap money that's available. Now, your LLC can be vested in the deed post-closing if you are 100% owner of that LLC and you're the owner of the property, but the mortgage will be in your personal name, okay? You cannot get a mortgage in your LLC with conventional financing, all right? So conventional financing, again, many of clients of mine have used this to buy Airbnb properties, single families that they want to rehab and rent them out long-term, because it's, the money is just so cheap. But if you don't, again, income base, W-2s, tax returns, pay stubs, that's the documents that we need to see. Rental income, we can help use to help you qualify if you have a history of collecting rental income on your tax returns. So those are the kind of the basics of the conventional program. All right, so let's move on. We going through this okay, guys?
Yeah, you good.
We good.
All right. So hard money loans, right? So hard money loans, favorite of most investors, especially if you're going to do a fix and flip, You want to buy a foreclosed property that's a multifamily, but you want to hold it in the long run. You want to go the hard money route. This is the way to get the quickest, cheapest, fastest money. If you're buying at an auction, if you're buying, you know, at one of those properties, if they say all cash, typically hard money is allowed. So you have very flexible times with this. Oh, let me get back to conventional real quick. Closing time. Closing time with conventional loans are going to be around 30 to 60 days, just depending on the lender also. And that's very important if you're in a competitive bidding war on a property. You need to be able to close fast. So that's a con with conventional loans for investors. Just want to throw that out there. Closing time with hard money, typically around 2 weeks. Some guys say they can do it in 10 days, but I'll tell you something, just prepare for 2 weeks closing. There's no income verification. So unlike traditional Fannie Mae loans, you don't need W-2s, pay stubs, tax returns. You don't need any of that information. The property is in your LLC's name. You will personal guarantee it with probably 95% of the hard money private lenders out there. They will take a look at your credit score. That's why they need a minimum of 620 to 660. Just depends on who you're going to. Some people are still at 620. Some people want the highest score. It just all depends on who you're talking to. But you don't need no income documentation. All right. Minimum down payment, depending on experience, will be anywhere right now from 15 to 30%. If you have a lot of experience, you can probably get the higher financing. But if you don't have experience, if you're a first timer right now, you can expect to put down 20 to 30% down payment. 100% rehab cost is available at a 65% ARV. All right. Pre-COVID, you had some very aggressive lenders out there that were.
Can you just explain what ARV is?
So after renovated value. Okay. After renovated value is your ARV. So it's basically the comps, right? That's basically what you have to look at when you're going into any type of rehab situation. So easy numbers, right? How you figure out 65% ARV. Say you got $150,000 acquisition price, $15,000 in repairs, that's $65,000 total between rehab and acquisition. The home will be worth $100,000 per the comps. The comps are comparable sales, typically within a 1 mile radius of the property sold within the past 6 months. Depending on the area, if it's not enough sales, the appraiser can go further out in time or in distance. They just have to notate that. But that's pretty much what you want to look for as the comps. And that's going to determine. So in that situation, it's $100,000. Comps, it will sell for 100K. So your ARV in that situation is 65%.
Man, Matt, what kind of interest rates are we looking at for hard money?
So boom, there we go. Interest rates are going to be somewhere in that right now, 9 to 15% range, depending on who you talk to, your relationships, new or seasoned investor. You know, the guys who've been out here consistently doing numbers, they're still getting that 9 to 10% with the more favorable terms right now. The people who are new are getting the 13 to 14% and the 25 to 30% down payment. So it's just all depends on where you are in life. But again, a lot of them are starting to, as America's starting to reopen, construction starting, people are starting to loosen that up. So from what I'm hearing, by mid-summer, beginning August, somewhere around there, the requirements for down payments should go back up if things keep moving the way they're going right now.
Gotcha.
All right. So 1 to 4 family investment properties only. You can't buy your primary residence and get a hard money loan. It's only investment properties. Some hard money lenders are requiring reserves anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But again, depending on your relationships and who you are, you probably don't need no reserves.
And that's one good thing, not to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off. we did a hard money class on EYL University because a lot of people ask all the time, like, you know, who should I contact about hard money and stuff like that. And it's a variety of different people, but it's all about relationships. So that's one of the things that we try to provide at EYL University also, is that, you know, you have direct access to these people. So I believe the gentleman that did the class is he works with DJ Envy and Caesar.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kevin yep. is a great guy. We can, you know, he's the go-to for the team. I work a lot with him. he closes a lot of deals for everybody. So yeah, he's that guy we use.
And he gave everybody his contact and all that, right?
Absolutely. A lot of the people have been in touch with Kevin, getting deals done. So he's made himself available for EYL University members.
Dope. Yeah, dope. All right.
All right. So 3 to 6 months of reserves depending on the lender. Closing your LLC name only. Experience is preferred, but it's not required. All right. Licensed contract is required. Some lenders don't care if you have a licensed contractor or not. Just all depends on the lender. 12-month terms, typically for hard money. So you got to have your exit strategies. You got to know how you're getting rid of that property for your newcomers. You don't want to get foreclosed on. You can get extensions, depending on who you're talking to, anywhere from 3 months to 6 months. For an extension, it's going to come at a fee. It's probably going to be very expensive. And like I said earlier, Troy, interest rates on hard money loans right now range between 9 and 15%. And with the points, it's 2 to 4 points. Now, points is a 1% of your loan amount. So if it's a $100,000 loan, you're looking at 2 points, that's $2,000, right? The smaller the loan, the more points you're going to be charged. The least amount of experience, the more points you're going to get charged. The more experienced, the cheaper the rate, the cheaper the cost.
All the terms usually just 12 months, or have we seen them extended past 12, like 12 to 18?
Yeah, you've seen them extend up to 18. You know, there's a lot of lenders that had to do forbearance because some investors just couldn't work, right, during COVID. So, you know, a lot of that is now starting to reopen up again. So extensions might be a little bit more generous in the next couple of months. But I know a lot of people had to hold a lot of notes because of the forbearances and everything.
Dope. Matt, you got something on your screen that says the recording has been stopped. I mean, it's all good. We can still hear you
and see you.
But yeah, there's like some letters on your screen that says.
My camera's trying to Teddy Riley me.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to keep going. I'm gonna change camera.
Yeah. You good. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So we got, that's with the hard money. We got any questions while I'm doing this real quick?
Yeah, we do actually.
Yeah.
Take one or two.
Well, you're hosting it, so you got to put Jamar. Jamar's trying to ask a question. He has his hand raised.
Go ahead. Take control real quick.
All right. Got you. Jamar, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
What's going on, Matt?
Yo, what's going on?
The quick question about your experience. Was it experience with hard money or your experience with, rehabbing homes? Can you break that down a little bit?
Both, right? So mainly they want to look for your experience with hard money, but if you have investment properties, they will count that also. Just depends on how many properties you own.
Okay. But what about flipped in the past?
Was it in the past 24 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. So they'll go back on your resume. So when you guys are applying with lenders, they're going to ask you how many transactions you completed. Most want to see 24 months. Some will go 12 months. But for the most part, if you got experience even 3 years ago, disclose it, right? The more experience you have, even if it's spread out over 10 years, let's say if you did 5 flips or 7 flips in the last 10 years, like you still have experience.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate you, Jamar.
Appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah,
I got a couple, so I'm gonna go to a few more. Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Patrice, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
Hi, I had a question. Outside of flip properties, what other benefits would people use hard money for?
To flip properties. That's it. That's the only, like, it's like a hammer, right? What else are you gonna use a hammer for? Just to drill a nail. Or hit somebody in the head, but like, you know what I'm saying? But like, hard money is a tool, right? That's the main purpose of the tools, to flip a house or get a house to rehab it. It's short-term solution. It's quick funding.
Okay, so I see somebody else posted too, not rehabbing holds?
Yeah, you can rehab and hold. So you can use it to rehab the property. You can flip the property or you can hold the property. And that's why you need to refinance out of it and get yourself into an asset-based loan, which I'm going to cover right after I get this camera right.
So you want to refi, Matt, just from my understanding, from talking to the guys that really do hard money a lot, the reason why you don't want to stay in a hard money long long term is because the interest rates are so much higher, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interest rates are much higher. You got 9 to 15%. It's interest only. You know, that can get expensive depending on your loan amount, right? The carrying costs can add up. So you want to get out of it, and it's only a 12-month term. It's going to balloon on you. So you have to go. Hard money is all about getting in and getting out. Whether you're flipping it or whether you're going to buy and hold, you need, and if you're going to buy and hold or rehab and then hold, you need to know your asset lender. You need to know who's going to be the person that's going to refinance you out of it. You need to know their qualifications. You already have to have that lined up, so it's a seamless transition and you don't get jammed up.
Matt, when you're looking for a hard money lender, are you looking for somebody that is in a close proximity, like somebody that's local, or can we do this anywhere in the United States?
Man, I don't care if they're in Hawaii. Gotcha. You know, they're able to fund.
Perfect. Patrice, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morgan, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I had a quick question about, you guys said earlier, I think it was in a conventional loan for the rehab money for the single families. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, is there also opportunities to get money or different incentives if you get that single family in an opportunity zone?
If you get the single family in an opportunity zone for investment property, you can use Fannie Mae Home Style.
Okay.
But it's not like you get like extra money just because it's in an OZ. I mean, the extra money you'll get is in the future, you know, 7, 8, 9 years from now, when people probably start selling, because it's all going to be tax-free.
Okay, I got you.
Appreciate it.
Morgan, appreciate you.
Morgan, appreciate you, my guy. Shout out to all the earners.
Yeah, earners is in here.
Yeah, they heavy.
I got like two more, Matt. You want to take two more and then keep going?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Christopher, you are unmuted. Unmute yourself. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, man? Just quick question. Could hard money be used for 6 to 10 units or 10 to 15 unit properties?
Depends on who you're talking to. You do have hard money lenders out there that only focus on the big commercial stuff. So yeah, there are opportunities out there, but it's, you know, again, experience. If you have the experience, then you can find financing for anything you want.
Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, Chris.
Good luck.
Stephanie, we got you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I have a question. I'm trying to figure out how, if you don't own a property currently, and you know how if you have an FHA or a conventional, it can be 3.5 if it's your primary resident. So I'm trying to figure out if you don't own anything, how do they know it's going to be an investment property if technically it can be your primary if you don't own another property? Does that make sense?
So are you talking about if you're buying with hard money or investment properties or just FHA and just in general?
Just in general. Like, I know you have to put 15% to 25%, like you said, if it's an investment property. But what if I don't own another property? This is my first property. And yes, I do want to look to rent it out later in life. But like, how can I get in with just the 3.5 down versus going in?
Very, very easy and simple. Just live there.
Okay.
That's all you got to do. Buy a multifamily, live in it for a year, and then house hack your life away.
Okay.
Perfect. You know, so you can use FHA as a tool to help you build wealth with real estate. 3.5% down. Right now, credit scores are ranging anywhere between 600 and 640 as a minimum score, just depending on who you're speaking to. So yeah, you can buy owner-occupied multifamily properties with an FHA loan.
And just hold it for a year.
Yeah, just living it for you. Look, guys, if you want to go ahead and 3.5%, get grant money, you know, do OPM your life away, house hack your life away, the system is here, is designed for you to do it. You just got to play by the rules, you know, and sacrifice that 1 year. 1 year is nothing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ernest, we see Matt. Well, I'm gonna give you the host privileges back. I see there's a lot of questions. We're gonna get to all of them.
Hold, before let's take an intermission. Yeah. So YouTube, Shout out to everybody on YouTube.
Shout out to Prudent Mom for making encouraging people to hit the like button. Yeah, appreciate
it's almost 100.
Shout
out to Prudent Mom.
Yeah, if we can get everybody just to take a millisecond and hit the like button, it's extremely free. You won't even burn a calorie. So, but it does actually help. It helps with the algorithm and it helps the channel. So we would greatly appreciate it if you guys can just take a second out of your day and hit the like button. We appreciate that. And yeah.
Also share this, man. Share this with your community right now. Tell your people you're getting some good knowledge and tell them to come join the party with us live.
That's a fact. And yeah, once again, if people are just joined us, they might be wondering like who's on the Zoom call. So this is an open enrollment. Once a month, we do an open class just showcasing EYL University. We do this stuff every single week. Mm-hmm. We did a hard money class. We do all kinds of different classes. And if you're interested in joining EYL University, you get access to 70 past webinars, yeah, weekly webinars, access to our private investment group on Facebook, access to the Book and Movie Club. And then Matt does a bi-weekly real estate session with the group. So
I see people that are asking questions like this. What about NACA? What about Sony Main? We actually have classes.
No, we have a class on everything. We got a class on NACA.
We
got a class on hard money. We got a class on Section 8. So every single week, it's a different class. We got a class
on wholesaling.
Yeah. And a few episodes on that too.
I'm going to be teaching a class soon about saving for your kid because everybody keeps asking about that. So I'm going to teach a class about that, about how to invest money for your kid. So yeah, the price is going up tomorrow.
Yeah.
The price is going up tomorrow. So if you want to take advantage of, this is the lowest price it'll ever be. I'll put the information in here. The code is earners. And yeah, we would love to see you on the other side. But Matt, I had a question. Somebody said house hacking. You said that. Can you just explain for people that might not be familiar what house hack? Because we always want to make sure that everybody is taking part of the conversation. We mm-hmm. don't want to leave anybody behind.
Yeah, there was a few people like, oh man, this sounds a little advanced. Let's slow it down just a little bit.
What is house hacking?
All right, guys. So look, house hacking could be a variation of different things, right? Many people have different definitions for it. So when I speak of house hacking, I'm more so saying building a real estate portfolio using, you know, minimum down payments, right? Using an owner-occupy strategy, staying in the house for 1 or 2 years, starting off with a four family, FHA, 3.5% down, refinance in a year, out of the FHA, into a conventional loan, move out of the house, go buy another property, three family, 3.5% down, live in it for a year to two, then repeat the cycle. Go to a two family. So you go 4-3-2-1. If your area does not have a lot of four families or triplexes, then go duplex, right? It can work either which way. You can also house hack by getting a single family and having roommates, right? Renting out your rooms. I know folks who live in a basement and Airbnb their homes, right? There's many different ways to house hack to live for free. You just have to pick a strategy that works best for you. This stuff is like real estate investing or just running a business, period. I think personally is unique to you. It's like your fingerprint, right? You got to do what's best for you. At the end of the day, everybody's going to have an opinion. Run your business as you see fit. Pick your lane of what you want to go in and just go do it. You know, if you don't have the capital to do 20% down, 30% down, you can only do 3.5. Great. Do it. There's options. You know, you can get grants to help you with down payment. You got programs like Sony Made, like you mentioned just a little while ago, where you can get down payment assistance. And these things are available all over the country. You just have to know where to look. You have to work with the right team of real estate professionals, realtors, loan officers, and use Google. And Google this stuff is right there at your fingertips. So there's many different options and there's many different ways where people can get in the game and house hack and build up a portfolio in a couple of years. I've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
Matt, you said a lot of important people just now in what you were saying, but if I'm a first-time investor, like who should be on my team? Like what players should I be putting on my team if I'm going into the investment game?
So I think if you're buying real estate, period, you should have a loan officer or, you know, a mortgage guy, a mortgage girl, right? You need a realtor, you need a wholesaler, you need a contractor, you know what I'm saying? You need attorneys, very important. You definitely need attorneys. Even if your state is not an attorney state, you still need an attorney just in case someone's going to sue you, right? You need property managers. If you're investing out of state, you need someone who can help manage those properties. Man, you need a CPA. Let's talk about that for a second, because remember, this is a whole wealth play, right? This is about generational wealth, and it's you need to have your CPA. You need to have an estate plan. You need to be able to have these things together, because if you're going to be out here buying real estate, you need to be able to pass it down, right? We're working hard out here to acquire this knowledge, to acquire this wealth that we all have opportunity to get. Yo, make sure you do it right, man. Get your estate plans, get your insurance, get everything that you need. And that needs to be a part of your team, right? It's not just about, can I go buy some houses? You know what I mean? You need to have everything come full circle.
Dope. Just all right. So you want to keep going with your slides, or you want to take some more questions?
No. Let me keep going so we can wrap this up. I can wrap this up in like 5 minutes.
All right,
go ahead.
All right, so look. Y'all see my screen?
Yep.
Yeah, you good.
All right, great. So let's get on to asset base, right? So a lot of people in the comments on YouTube, earners asking about the BRRRR strategy, buy, renovate, refinance, rent, repeat, right? So this is the most important part of that BRRRR strategy is your refinance, okay? Your asset-based lender. You need to find your asset-based lender. EYL private Facebook group, no worries. I'm going to put it some in the group so that way you guys have direct access to it. All right. Minimum credit score 660 to 680. No income verification is needed. So no W-2s, no pay stubs, no bank statements, none of that stuff like a conventional loan. Only rental income is used to qualify for the loan. Close 30 to 45 days. All right. 30 day of ownership seasoning. Very important. So if you buy, you know, a home at a foreclosure auction, you use hard money, it needed a light fix up, you can be in and out of that project 30 days, refinance into an asset-based loan, no seasoning, no problem, as long as the rental income is enough for the owner to make at least 20% profit, right? DSCR. We'll have a class on that at EYLU about DSCR. 5-7 year arms and 30-year terms are available. So you can do a 5-year, 7-year adjustable rate, or you can do a 30-year fix. 20% down for purchase price for a purchase, 75% for a rate and term refinance, 70% for a cash out refi. Now, this is for 1 to 4 family properties. So you can, with an asset-based loan, if you have 20% down and you want to buy a multifamily, you can put 20% down. If you want to refinance out of your hard money, this 75% right there is the key, right? You can go a rate and term up to 75% LTV. So remember, guys, in that example I gave earlier, you purchase the price for the property for $50,000. You put $15,000 rehab into it. So that's $65,000. So if we can do a rate and term refinance, I want you guys to put in the comments, if my max LTV is 75%, What amount can we go up to? What's the max loan amount? Let's see if you guys are paying attention. YouTube, let's see if y'all paying attention. Put that in the comments for me, right? If your LTV on a rate and term refinance is 75, you pay 50, 15K of rehab, what's your maximum loan amount to be up to? Put it in the comments, all right? 70% cash out refinance. And I guess everybody's slow with the math today.
Yo, Matt, man, it's 14.
Yeah, the earners got some numbers for you.
Yo, I can't see it on the earners, but in YouTube, they slow as molasses.
Yeah, the earners is really smart people. I just barely, algebra. Back to these formulas, no calculator.
Yo, where's Derek Falcon at, man?
Quick math. You got to know the numbers, kid. Like Darren Falcon said, you got to know your numbers.
Got to know your numbers. That's a fact.
If you don't know your numbers, how are you going to analyze a deal?
Oh, there we go. YouTube running up the numbers now. There we go.
Okay, finally, YouTube. Finally. I don't know if it's a delay on my device. Or
It definitely was delayed, bro. Shout out to YouTube.
Shout out to YouTube, but shout out to the earnest.
Somebody said I'm counting my fingers.
All right, so you can close in the LLC name. Investment properties only, like I said, rent ready properties, very important. You cannot do an asset based loan that needs, if it needs rehab, it won't work. It needs to be rent ready. It doesn't have to be rented. You can use market rents. to help qualify for the refinance or the purchase. It doesn't have to be rented, but it has to be rent ready, right? You can do use long-term and short-term rental income to help you qualify as well.
So
right?
Matt, was the answer to the question 75,000?
Yeah, 75,000. That was the answer.
Okay.
75% LTV. Shout out to everybody who said 75,000. There was a few on YouTube, but a lot of them was way off. Right? A lot of them was way off. I ain't gonna call y'all out by name, but geez, man.
It's all good. No, it's all good. That's why you need a loan officer.
Yo, man.
That's why you need a mortgage guy or a mortgage girl. Holla at us, right? So look, this is the most important part of the presentation to me, right? Why should you buy and invest, right? This is, especially in today's time, right? We have a lot going on with the race war and everything. So we got to really understand where we came from and why we need to take pride in ownership, right? I see a lot of people on the internet talking about never buy a single family home, never do this, never do that. Look, screw everybody, right? We got to take pride in ownership. Own some shit. I don't care if you own primary residence. If you just want to rent your whole life, go own some investment properties. There's plenty of places where you can go for cheap and get some investment properties. But we got to take pride in this ownership, right? Generational wealth in real estate is the number one source of generational wealth in America. It's proven fact. But we've been through Jim Crow laws, redlining, systemic racism. We've been through so much. And our ancestors been through so much to get us to the right to where we can really go in any hood, right? Any hood and buy, right? Money is available for us, right? They tried to redline us 40, 50, 60 years ago, but they can't stop us now, right? Any way you put it, they can't stop us. They're going to try to still do the BS, but look, we control this, man. I'm telling you, we're lending billions and billions of dollars to people. People, come get your piece of it because our people fought for this. For this right for us to be sitting here today to be able to talk about this, they fought for this. You got to really think about that. So when you guys are sitting on the sidelines, just think about, you got people that came way before you to get us to where we are. And if you look at the Black home ownership rate, it increased by 4% year over year, but we got so much room to grow. Like our peers, 65%. You know what I'm saying? We at 44%, but we got a lot of people out here looking rich. But a lot of people still ain't owning stuff. We got to take pride in this ownership, man. Our neighborhoods are the opportunity zones. If we don't gentrify our own hoods, we can't complain about it. We now have the knowledge, the expertise. We have people that look just like us that can assist you with home ownership, whether it's investing, whether it's buying a primary residence, whatever it is, right? We have these opportunities in front of us. So please don't take this for granted, guys. We owe it to our ancestors to be owners. The only way we combat racism is if we go out here and own some shit, right? We can't change nothing if we're not owners. If we're always going to have that consumer mentality and not own our stuff, then we're never going to change anything. We have the best, like our Black dollar is crazy. We got to start putting this into our own neighborhoods and really going out here and start buying. So that's all I got to say.
All right,